Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Well, here's the question. Have you been holed up during this Gulf Coast Arctic blast? Are you ready to get back into the woods and on the water? Well, this morning we're going to have some tips for picking up the pieces that are left and exploring what changes we can predict that'll happen from this local phenomenon that's affecting fish and seafood, birds and wildlife, and yes, us humans. In fact, we had at least 7 duck hunters were rescued this week by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents, enforcement agents. That's what they do in their spare time. And, you know, one of those major impacts can come in the form of fish kills. Have you witnessed any? Have you heard of any? Now, you may not detect dead or dying or compromised fish that may eventually die from the cold for some time. Normally it takes some time for the bodies to float up when the waters warm up a little bit. And sometimes those fish are just so severely impacted that they don't survive because they can't feed and recover from the cold. So still got to keep your eyes peeled, and I have to this point only heard some second and third-hand information about some numbers of dead and dying fish, but perhaps we'll hear more. And if you know of any, we'd like to hear from you this morning at 504-260-1870. That's our talk and text line, mostly text line on this show. We appreciate you if you participate. And in case you haven't heard, well, it's going to be a wide-open season on sharks, at least 2 species in Louisiana waters. We'll tell you more about that. Still some good waterfowl hunting opportunities left, especially those wonderful speckle-belly geese. If you've never hunted them, or even if you have and you want to learn how to set up and really do some championship-type calling, I invite you to watch our Bayou Wild TV episode that's airing this week called Champions of the Call. We were with 2 state champion duck and goose callers. That's talking about Mike Smith of LADuckHunts.com and also Hayden Richard. Check it out. You can find all the local listings and channel and even watch it on our website at BayouWildTV.com. And did you hear the one about a trespassing, thermal imaging, drug-possessing, illegal deer-killing man from Marangouin? Well, stick around, and you will, because he's also our bad boy of the outdoors. And if you did have, and I know a lot of you hadn't even gone out, but if you happen to have, maybe yesterday you snuck out, had a successful fishing or hunting trip during the blizzard week, we'd like to include it along with your comments and your questions. We'll add it to the reports we'll get from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting, and your message comes real-time to the studio, 504-260-1870. One other thing we're going to talk about, our bait of the day, is going to be the jerkbait. Do you use jerkbaits? If you do, which one do you prefer? When do you use it, and how do you work it? We'll be talking with some of our captains about that. I'd like to hear from you, too. Coastal marine forecast, if you're headed out, Here's what the forecast is in the Gulf of America. We're going to have some east winds, 8 to 15 knots, 1 to 2-foot seas. Tomorrow, southeast winds, 8 to 15, also 1 to 2-foot seas. On the interior lakes and bays, this morning you're going to face an east wind about 6 to 12, fairly light, and switching around a little bit more southeasterly tomorrow, again, 6 to 12 in the intensity. Got a lot of tide moving, 1.7, and boy, I heard from a lot of people there's a lot of absence of water out there, which impacted potential trips. Mississippi River, surprisingly, a low 3.9 and continuing to fall, but I'm sure that's going to change. All right, the stage is set. We're going to be back to talk to Robbie Campo, who had an excellent deer hunt. Now, I know there's not a whole lot of fishing reports gathered from this week to pass along, so we'll kind of look for some tips to do some post-freeze fishing, and we'll talk hunting because it's prime hunting season still going on, and Robbie bagged a very nice buck up in Tallulah. We'll get him to tell the story when we come back right after this pause. You are listening to, in its 36th year, The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And what you're going to probably find at Campos this morning is frozen shrimp. A lot of us were frozen this week. Let's talk to Robbie Campo, Campos Marina in Shell Beach. Robbie, I know there wasn't a lot of fishing reports to gather up this week because of the weather. Not very many people at all went out unless you could walk to a spot and maybe fish from the bank, and you know, even at that was pretty uncomfortable to do that. But hunting is good, and you had a really good trip up to Tallulah, bagged a nice buck, and I got to compliment you on whoever shot that video. That's some excellent video work on the kill.
Yeah, it was. I got invited to a friend of mine that has a camp over here in Fort Beauregard, Augie Gilliatt, and you know, he kept telling me, "Oh yeah, you got to come with me. You got to come with me." So he called, and I said, yeah, I'll go. I mean, we had nothing else going on around here, so I jumped in a truck, and I avoided all the snow. I got because we didn't have any snow up there. Just a couple little flurries the morning, Tuesday morning, that the snow hit here. So I said, well, we went up there, and we hunted hard. I tell you, Don, last evening hunt and this eight, you know, he was a good management 8-pointer. He walked out, he was 235 pounds, probably a little bit run down from the, you know, from the rut, chasing so hard up there, but he got to take him, and it was man, he dropped right in his tracks. I didn't have to go look for him. He was just
what round one did you shot, hit that boom, deer done. With? What round did you use to?
It was a 30-06, 150 grain Federal Fusion is what I used, and it did the trick, man. It dropped him right in his tracks.
That's what you want. Well, I guess you won't be invited back. Go up there and kill a good deal like that off the man's place, huh?
No. There's plenty to go around up there. Diamond Island is something like you've never seen.
Oh yeah, I've heard of
if you ever Island, get
yeah.
the chance to experience, you ever get the chance to experience Diamond or Davis or Togo Island, and anybody ever asks you to go and you don't go, you're missing it. You missed the boat, man, because those places, those Oxbow Islands up there or along
special.
That river is
They're
just
special.
Something to. Oh yeah, it is. They got it. They got a, you know, something there, Don. That's you know, you got to have a lot of money to be in it. It's out of my league. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but, I'm with you.
I got invited to go and I went.
Yeah, you
so
did the right
you, Don,
thing,
Don. Yeah. So this morning here, the water's extremely low, and you know, we thought we would have a redfish jubilee here, but it has not happened so far. I see people set up there this morning trying, so hopefully, I mean, you know, that they'll catch something. But that's not a good sign if we don't have any fish up there for what's going to be for this spring, you know. So my dad went riding around yesterday in a boat to see if there was any fish kill. They did not find any fish kill, so never found the first dead one. Now, I did see some pictures on Facebook over by Grand Isle. They had, you know, some that got trapped in some lower water and died. But, you know, had a little bit of a fish kill. But I think you're going to have some, just not, you know, I don't think it's going to be, it's not near what we had in 89. So It's not going to be anything like that. So I think for the most part, these fish are going to be okay. What just worries me is we didn't have any kind of a jubilee so far up in these bayous where they get every year, and that's not a good sign for what's going to, what the spring's going to be.
Well, let's hope that water was just a couple weeks ago. Yeah, let's just hope the water was so cold.
The water was 43. The water was 43 degrees. So now it's 39 this morning. So I mean, it may happen today. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, well, redfish can usually.
Down here this morning,
I was going to say redfish are usually good to about 30 degrees. Now, once you get below 40 on speckled trout, that's when they start getting in trouble. So they got to get out of Dodge in 30-degree weather.
And this morning on the ride down was anywhere from 30 to 30, 32 degrees. Air temperature.
Right.
So, but the water is 39 this morning. Mm-hmm. Just checked it right here at the buoy. So, I mean, it's pretty cold. So maybe they'll be in there today. I don't know. But I tell you, Don, you was talking about jerk baits a little while ago.
Yep.
Jerk baits work really well, and that's what's been working around here in these parts. Mira Lewis has been great. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't know a whole lot about jerk baits, and I said this before, I never use them much, but I think Marker 54 makes a jerk bait I think that's what the guy was telling us, a Marker 54 jerk bait. They go down about 3 feet, 4 feet, and he said that was a very effective bait also. Before this cold weather happened. So, but I don't know if the jerk bait's going to do you much good today, I tell you. Not with water temperatures being in 39 degrees. If you are going to ride around today in a boat, be very, very careful. The water's extremely, extremely low. So, we don't need anybody stuck. We'll have to get anybody from CETO to come get you because that's going to be it's going to be a costly deal if you're not a CETO member. And if you know where you're going, go. If you don't know where you're going, don't do it. Today's not the day to do that. So, with that said, we have frozen shrimp and we got live minnows, Don. If you're coming down, we're here. So, if you're coming down, we got plenty of duck hunters this morning.
Yeah.
Now, if you're coming down and you want to go fishing, hook the left at the bridge and come on and see us.
All right, be looking for your report next week, see how the recovery comes, and see if this cold weather did indeed bring some ducks to the Biloxi Marsh. Hope they did that, too. Thanks for the report, Robbie.
Yep.
Congratulations on that buck, man. You had a good deer season. You got to be happy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I sure am. Thank you, Don. Looking forward to turkey season now.
I'm with you there. All right, let's go get them. Robbie Campo.
All right,
Campo's
bye-bye.
Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we come back after this. Going to get to some information about reporting dead fish or dying fish and also talk a little bit more about those crankbaits and get to your text messages at 504-260-1870. And you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, a couple things we're asking you to participate in this morning. Jerk baits, what do you know about them? Do you use them? Which one do you prefer? How do you fish with it? And when do you use it? One of the best pieces of advice I ever got from a professional fisherman with regard to jerk baits was he told me this. He said, when you're fishing a crankbait, which is different, you fish with the reel. When you're reeling it straight in, it has its own movement. Quick and side to side. You can stop it and start it, but basically you just drag a crankbait through and it does its own thing. A jerkbait's different. You move the jerkbait with the rod. You put the rod, you kind of tuck it under in the crook of your arm and you do a back and forth, up and down motion, and that simulates a wounded or dying or a compromised fish and sometimes will stimulate a strike. But instead of doing it on top with a topwater, you're down where the fish are more likely to be in some cases, and that's my theory on fishing a crankbait, a jerkbait. What is yours? We'll get some tips on that from some of our professional fishermen, too. By the way, my favorite is some people pronounce it Rapala. I call it a Rapala, and that's my favorite jerkbait. All right, let's get to some of your text messages. This one says, good morning, Don. The Match Director checking in with a question Are there boat hoists anywhere to be found like Battistella's and Empire, Hopedale Marina? Have they all gone the way of the dodo bird? By the way, dodo is D-O-D-O, not the way you spelled it as a female whitetail. Anyway, people, why don't you text me? If you've got a place that you know of that has a hoist, I'm not sure which area you're looking for, just text it to me at 504-260-1870. We'll pass it along to the match director. All right, here's a report of a fish kill in Lafitte. Specks were seen floating dead, and that's not the first time I've heard that since the weather, the bottom fell out in the thermometer. All right, here's one says, good morning, Mr. Don. We're hunting in St. Francisville Tuesday and Wednesday after the snow. No deer. They didn't like the snow, I guess. I figured they would move to eat. Have to work at Exxon today, but we'll try Sunday. Thanks for the show, Slim Dunbar. Yeah, that can happen. You would think that they would be on the move, particularly in the snow, but more likely from people I talked to that were in it, they were more hunkered down. Here's JT in Varnado. He says, is the rumor about deer season extended 2 days due to the freeze? True. Thanks. JT, I think that's exactly what it is, a rumor. I have not heard anything about that. And you got to think about, you know, other states, snow is common during deer season, and they don't make any special dispensations. I guess another way to look at it is people couldn't get out because of frozen roads, so the pressure was less. Can we extend? I don't think you're going to see that. Now, the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission and the secretary has the authority to close seasons due to emergencies, but to extend them, we have had snapper season extended. I don't know. It's maybe a slight possibility, but I think it's strictly a rumor. I don't think you're going to see that. Here's one that says, I know this may be a little early, but I was just thinking on my drive to work. That's a good time to think. When is the best time to head offshore to the rigs to catch the king mackerel migration this spring? Love your show. Springtime, you know, late February, March, April, those are all good months to catch up with that king mackerel. And you can do that in the newly named hotspot, the Gulf of America. How about that? All right, old friend Wingbone over in Wilmer, Alabama, he said it was a challenge last week. He didn't see any deer at his feeder either. And he worked on two turkey calls, and they're headed to North Carolina. Well, let me know if they work up there, Wingbone. I'm sure they do. The old snake doctor is checking in with an announcement. New Orleans fly fishers are going to have a fly fishing expo today from 8 to 4. It's at the church on 3900 St. Christopher's Gym. And 3900 Durbigny Street in Metairie, beginners to pros, it's absolutely free, 8 to 4. Here's one that says, the pink mirror lure jerkbait has always been great in the Delacroix area. And then we got this one, Mike from Mississippi, did very well fishing the day after the snow. From lunch to that evening, we saw a few mullet between 6 and 8 inches floating dead on the water. Here's one says, how do you think the snow affected the crawfish season? Popcorn in Waggaman. Oh, that's popcorn in Waggaman. Cold weather, you know, not necessarily snow, but frigid weather, yeah, certainly sets the crawfish season back a little bit, but it's not going to have any devastating results, I would not think. The backstrap stacker, he's one of our regulars. He's up in Clark County this weekend. The bucks are chasing. It's rut time in Alabama. He says it's on. All right, thank you all for your text. If you got something you want to add to the show, 504-260-1870. This kind of slipped in this week. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries announced that recreational fishermen now can keep any size, any quantity of black tip and bull sharks. This went into effect on the 20th. Not many people were fishing offshore on the 20th. Anyway, these new regulations, be aware, they're only in state waters. And you need to be aware that the regulations are different in federal waters. What do you think about that? Is it too little? Is it not enough? Should they have extended into the entire Gulf of America waters instead of just state waters? But you can, as of now, keep any quantity and any size. That's a big change, both black tip and bull shark. So you got to brush up on your shark identification for sure. All right, you find any dead fish, report it here, but also report it to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. They have a special page set up on the website. They're going to want your name, your phone number, in case they need to get back with you. Give them good directions about the quantity of fish that you saw, what species, and what their condition was. Were they dying? Were they floundering on the water? Were they already dead, decomposing, whatever? And you've got to be aware, whatever the limits are, those are in effect as well as legal methods of take and taking fish, be it past those regulations, is illegal. All right, we come back after this. I got some more announcements for you. We'll get to some more of your text messages. Jerkbaits. You fish them, you like them, when do you use them, where do you use them? We'll be back to talk with you about that right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got some text messages coming. This one says, I like the Rapala, or Rapala, I would like to pronounce that, number 11 jerkbait in black and silver. I also like the Broken Back model. Excellent lure that catches a lot of bass. That's from my friend, the big man Bassin in Covington. Yeah, that's great bait. And, you know, the thing about jerkbaits, you can go either way with them. They catch both bass, and they also catch speckled trout and some other saltwater species, too. Got to comment on jerkbait fishing, what you like, where you use it, when's the best time to use it. Text me, 504-260-1870. And we'll be back with some more of your text messages and a couple of announcements right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have, we got this one coming in. It says, we don't all appreciate your politics, Don. I put up with your denial of climate change. Well, thank you very much for tolerating my opinion. But quit with the Gulf of America. Hurting your show. That's from Miriam in Lacombe. In case you haven't heard, the official name has been changed from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America, and that's what I was referring to. And I believe you have your opinion. You're entitled to it. You just had it. Please let me have mine, Miriam. What would y'all like to say? Anybody got a message for Miriam from Lacombe this morning? 504-260-1870. Here's one that says Gulf of America. Love it. That's from Slim. Here's one that says, I'm going to give it one last shot this weekend. Pun intended. Yeah, we get it on the shot. Favorite jerkbait, Matrix Jerkbait. Pretty good success with that. That's from Big Easy and the Abita Hunting Club. Well, good luck to you, Easy. And let's see, we got Love the Frog Color Mirror Lure doing overcast days in City Park. Walking the dog lands some nice largemouth. That's from Lanyap Randy. Jay Bulls checking in from the duck capital of the world. In lieu of Steel Man's absence, they had an extra bowl of gumbo last night and an extra cup of coffee this morning. Being guided by GGS, hoping to finish the season strong with Snow Mo Gaydon. That's a new one. All right, here's one that says, have you tried off-the-hook seafood in Hammond? I have not. Great food at fair prices. If you like it, continue. All right, text messages are welcome, 504-260-1870. And, yeah, I made some gumbo this week myself, some quail and venison sausage into some Uncle Larry's Ready Set Gumbo. You know, wasn't much to do. Once I got finished working around the office, the roads were all shut down, couldn't really go anywhere except where I could walk. And I took my German short hair pointer, Smokey, and she had a fun time romping in the snow. We played some fetch. And she enjoyed that. But otherwise, had some time to work a little gumbo. It doesn't take you long when you use Uncle Larry's Ready Set Gumbo. Good product. All right, we got, I mentioned to you, speckle-belly goose hunting with two calling champions, Mike Smith and Hayden Richard. That's what's on Bayou Wild Television this week. And one of the parts of it, one segment, is John Foltz, our favorite chef, cooking a speckle-belly goose with orange marmalade. Whew, that was some good stuff. I can taste it now. Anyway, go to our website, which is BayouWildTV.com, and you can look up the different stations, the cities where it broadcasts, and the times. Or if you can't find a station near you, you can watch it anywhere in the United States on our website at BayouWildTV.com. It's on our YouTube channel there, as all of our shows are. All right, let's see. Well, here's one that says, let Miriam know her radio has a dial. Turn it. Well, we like her to listen. I don't want her to not listen to us. But, you know, she has her place with her politics and her opinions, and I've got mine, and you've got yours. That's what makes this country great. All right, here's one. Good morning, Don Roland Cortez and Dave Bayou Crew are having a great year. What are y'all having a great year on, both ducks and geese or one or the other? Roland, good to hear from you. He's always up early on Saturday mornings getting ready to take some people out hunting. All right, here's something I wanted to mention to you. It's coming up next month, February. It's 22nd and 23rd, Saturday and Sunday. It's called Troops and Tusk, and this is a fundraising wild hog tournament. And you can get involved in several ways. You can go hunting and participate, get an entry fee and win some prizes, or you can participate in the auction and come out there. And all of this is for veterans. And Derek Poore, you'll be hearing from him. We'll get him on the program. Going to be some good entertainment out there. DJ Kent Sonier is going to be there. Swampland Revival will be playing. And it's going to be a great time at the Delcrum Shrimp Festival Grounds. That's on Main Street in Delcrum. Saturday and Sunday, February 22nd and 23rd. Opens from noon to 8 on Saturday. Also got Prentice James. He's going to be out there. And Bad Boys. How about that? That's an entertaining group. Anyway, looking forward to that. It's been a great event. Raises funds badly needed for our veterans, and they certainly deserve it. All right, we come back after this. Going to get a Toledo Bend freshwater fishing report with Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rods Guide Service and also some advice on how to pick up the pieces and fish after a hard, hard freeze passes through freshwater-wise. Josh is next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's time to talk a little freshwater fishing. Let's do that with Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rods Guide Service in Toledo Bend. Josh, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm warming up. I'm finally regaining some circulation. We're just not used to this down here, and you guys probably aren't either. What were any of the effects that you saw up there during this big freeze?
Well, man, our water temps cooled down to the mid-40s, which is about as cold as I've seen them for up here on Toledo Bend. Yesterday, the water temps was 45, and the fish are still biting, but you've got to slow down a lot to catch them.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about the bass fishing this time of the year up there. I guess they're in a pre-spawn stage right now?
Typically they would be, but this year looks like it may be a little bit later just because the water temps are so low. All the shad have moved out into the river channel, and so that's where most of all of our bass are being caught right now as well. We're just chasing balls of shad out in the river, out in 50 to 60 foot of water, but the fish are only about 10 to 15 foot under the surface.
So what are you using to get down there to them?
We're just throwing a jig head with a minnow on it, throwing like a quarter ounce or a half ounce jig head with like a 3.5 to 4 inch minnow on the back of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's effective. But if somebody wanted to throw a plastic, strictly artificial, what would you suggest?
Now, if I was going to throw a plastic, there are some fish in the grass on the south end of the lake, and you can slow down really, really slow with a big, like a big brush hog on a Texas rig or a big ribbon tail worm, and just slowly, methodically work it through that grass. And about 8 to 10 foot of water, we've been getting a few bites up there as well.
Jerk baits. We're talking jerk baits this morning. Do you use those, and if you do, which ones do you use, and when do you use them?
I do. So I use jerk baits doing a couple of different things. Those suspended fish we're catching out over the river, they will come up and eat a jerk bait, and I'm throwing a Mega Bass Vision 110. And then also up in the creeks around that grass and stumps and stuff on the side of those creek channels in that 10 foot of water or so, I'm throwing around those stumps and grass and get just slowly, slowly stopping it and letting them swim up out of the grass and come and eat it. It's pretty cool to watch on a live scope. You can actually see those fish underneath your jerkbait, and when you pause it, you let it sit there for sometimes 20 or 30 seconds. They'll slowly swim up to it and eat it.
Huh, another lesson learned via the live scope, huh? Who would have thought 20 or 30-second delay to let it sit there? I would have never thought that you'd let it sit there idle that long.
Yeah, sometimes you have to with this really cold water like we have right now.
Well, let's talk crappie a little bit. Well, we had a great crappie trip with you guys up there. How's that faring out?
Man, the crappie bite picked up this week. We're catching them pretty good up around the chicken coop area of the lake, which has always been the most popular area when the water gets real cold. It's just fishing standing timber on the side of the river. The timber's in about 20 foot of water, and it's not really a time of year you're going to come catch 100 crappie, but you can come catch 40, 50, 60 crappie, but they're some giant slabs, some two-pound crappie mixed in, and a lot of fun catching them around that timber. It's not like our brush piles where you pull up and there's hundreds of them down there. But if you pull up on a piece of timber and it's got 10 fish on it, you're typically going to catch 8 or 10 of them.
And you're using shiners or jigs?
Jigs seem to work better with the cold water. Bright colored jigs like a black and chartreuse or a black and pink or, any sort of pink or chartreuse hues seem to work the best when the water gets real cold like it is now.
Josh, what's boat traffic like this time of year up there at Toledo Bend? Pretty light?
Actually, it's heavier than you would imagine. The cold don't scare people off because we have tournament season coming up, and so a lot of tournament anglers out here practicing. Just yesterday, I bet I saw 10 or 15 of the Bassmaster Elite Series pros that are going to be on Conroe the next week. Just over here messing around, wasting time to get to Conroe.
Yeah, good place to do it for sure. Well, Josh, it sounds like things are going. We'll be looking forward to the Brim Bite, too, but that's a ways off.
Yes, sir, it is. We're still a few months away from that.
Well, very good. Josh, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, I know you're very helpful in teaching them how to fish the bend, as they call it, for both species, and also you can help them out with locating some lodging and accommodations up there in the bend. Tell them how to get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, so they can go to our website at www.bentrodsguideservice.com. They can find us on Facebook, look up Bent Rods Guide Service. Or they can call me directly at 318-308-5818.
All right, and I have that number. If someone couldn't jot it down and like to get it, I'll pass it along to them. Josh, thanks so much for the tips and advice. Look forward to getting them from you each and every week, and we'll pass them along to our listeners. Stay warm up there.
We'll try. Appreciate it, Don.
All righty. Captain Josh Sykes up on the bend, as they call it, Toledo Bend. All right, we got some more fishing reports coming up. Daryl Carpenter is going to check in with us from Grand Isle. Grand Isle had snow. I don't know. I'm sure they've had it before, but it might have been 100 years or so before that happened. We'll try to get a little bit of historical accounting from Daryl when we talk to him. Looking at some more of the text messages, we were talking about somebody wondered if it was a rumor if Louisiana was going to extend the deer season. And another texter quoted that Mississippi has extended its deer season. It has, but it wasn't done because of the weather. It's not the entire state of Mississippi. There's certain areas, and it's on private land only, and that would be what's considered the deer management units in the Delta, Hills, and North Central. And it will be extended till Sunday, February 2nd. And the law that they quoted on this was that if the open deer season ends on a Friday, the commission already has the authority to extend it until 30 minutes after sunset on the following Sunday. And that's just to give hunters an extra weekend. But there's nothing mentioned in there about, oh, due to the freeze conditions and people couldn't get out, we're going to extend the hunting season. That's something that was already in place for them to act on, and the Mississippi Wildlife and Fisheries Commission did it. All right, we're coming back with Captain Daryl Carpenter right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's check in with Daryl Carpenter, where they had a snowstorm on Grand Isle this week, and, man, that is a very rare occasion. Daryl, did you check into the history of when the last time it snowed on Grand Isle was?
I've been asking, Don, and can't find a living soul that has really seen it. I'm hearing back, what was the record, back in the 1800s or whatever, I've heard it's had snow on it before, but nothing like what we had this time. I mean, we had full-out blizzard conditions. I mean, it's hard to say. I know the official estimate was somewhere around 8 to 10 inches of snow, but it's hard to measure it because it came with 30-mile-an-hour winds, so it was a full-on blizzard, and it was a real light, fluffy snow. Had just as much under my house as I had out in the yard because it was all getting blown in. So, yeah, we were iced in an ice skating ring there for a couple of days.
Yeah, I think that's what they call a drift. I'm not sure. I'm not a snow expert, but I think they call that a snow drift when it piles up like that. Well, what are the after effects? I guess there's a lot of people with broken pipes because of so many camps raised up off the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I'll be changing professions for the next week or so. I'm going to be a shade tree fire plumber. Because there's a whole lot of people that's needing pipes fixed. But, you know, the thing that's on our mind, and like, you know, like everybody else, and kind of like you opened the show, is we're worried about what the fish kill is going to look like. I've seen some pictures of regional, you know, little localized fish kills. I've gotten word that there were some pretty significant fish kills, trout washing up on the beaches on Elmers and Fouchon. Haven't seen any pictures of it yet, though. Haven't seen it with my own eyes. It's just, like you, it's third-party reports at this point. But it's a little bit concerning. We had such a good year shaping up. It was going to be so good after last year that, you know, we hope that our new crop survives we hope that those fish, you know, that were bordering on that 10, those last year fish that were 10, 11 inches coming into the season, we hope they survive real good. And we certainly don't want to lose a whole lot of those big fish that we had last year.
Absolutely. Well, has anybody ventured out since the freeze? Have you talked to anybody that's gone out and tried?
I haven't, Don. In fact, you know, the situation I'm in is the water is so daggum low that I don't even think I can get out of my canal right now. So, I mean, it's been one of those, like I said, it was brutal, not just the temperatures, but when you get down in those coastal waters, it was coming with 30-mile-an-hour winds. So I'm sure our wind chill factor was well below zero. Really hadn't talked to anybody that's been out because it's been, I think everybody went home, hunkered down, and, you know, protected their pipes for the most part.
Darryl, we were talking about jerk baits. You ever use jerk baits?
Rarely. I mean, over the last several years, I've gotten more into, you know, going back to my old roots as a bass fisherman and using more plastic and fake baits than live bait. But when I do, it's usually the Rapalas or the Yuzuris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Yuzuri's a great bait. I don't think I've ever found an artificial bait with sharper hooks than what comes on that Yuzuri.
And that's the part. Look, as a charter captain, you're rarely using those baits unless you're on the boat by yourself.
I know why.
Because
they're dangerous.
Yeah, you can't get it out of people's head that hey, you don't have to sit, you don't have to swing for the fences with every bite, you know, because those hooks are coming flying back at you when you do.
Yeah, and casting can be hazardous too, especially with those baits.
Yeah.
Well, Darryl, listen, still hoping that you and I can get together and do the spawning sheephead thing. That should be coming up pretty soon. We'll head out there to the new Gulf of America. That's a new hotspot for sheephead offshore.
Yeah, you know, Don, it's coming up. Just give me a call and we'll get it organized. And what it'll be, you know, this cold's going to set everything back a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know, come the end of this month, well, we're in the finals of January, but especially come mid-February into March, those sheephead will start stacking up real hard on those close-in rigs, you know, just off Grand Island, just off of Fouchon's Beach. It'll be just it's how many dead shrimp do you bring with you, you know, as far as how many fish you want to catch.
Right. Well, Darryl, if you see or hear of any fish kills or confirm them, please let me know and ask people to send photos. You know, it's easy enough. Everybody's got one in their pocket on their cell phone. You can take pictures, and that verifies the species and location, and then we can get a better handle on it. But overall, from what I'm seeing now, I think fish kills to this point appear to be minor and nothing like in 1989. And, of course, time will tell, but it looks like we're going to come through this okay.
Yeah, and only time's going to tell, Don, and it's not just that. I mean, it's the forage species, too. You know, what's this going to do to the shrimp crop? We got to wait and see how quick it bounces back. Hopefully we don't get that other one in February like some of the long-range stuff is saying, because you need your forage, you know, you need your shrimp and everything else to have a healthy crop in order to sustain it all.
Darryl, besides my website, give them yours at Real Screamers and also your phone number.
Yes, sir, realscreamers.com or 225-937-6288.
All right, and if you need a good plumber, give Darryl a call on Grand Isle. Darryl's Plumbing Service.
got plenty of PVC glue.
There you go. See you next week, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, we come back after the top of the hour break. We'll get to some more of your text messages. Also, Captain Mike Gallo, Born on the Bayou Report. Eric Mohabarak, I bet there wasn't a whole lot of people kayaking around in the icy waters. Ryan Lambert will talk some duck hunting. And we're going to get a report from out west, our friend at Hackberry Rod and Gun. Captain Kirk Stansel will join us. All that still to come with the second hour. Thank you for participating and listening in the first hour. Hope you're back with us for another one right after this.
So it's a new year, 2025. And you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
And welcome into hour number two. We're talking recovering from the big Arctic blast that hit the Gulf Coast, and we're also talking about jerkbaits and trying to scrounge up some fishing reports, asking if there are any verified reported fish kills. If you've seen any, please text us at 504-260-187 or anything else you'd like to send in. I got this one in. Says, are your quail and venison sausage gumbo using Uncle Larry's Ready Set Gumbo sounded and looked really good during all this snowy weather. Yeah, it was nice and hot. On a different note, I won't check till tomorrow, but hoping I was able to protect the melaton vines against Jack Frost's visit in Mobile, where we got 6 to 7 inches of snow. That's from our friend David. All right, I'm not going to mention that one. Oh, here's one that says, of course you won't mention those that agree with Miriam. I did get one person that agrees with Miriam, if you missed it. She said she tolerates with my take on climate change, but she wants me to quit referring to the Gulf of America. And I don't know whether she's aware of that, but that is going to be the new name of it, Gulf of America. So you want me to continue to call it by the old name? I'm not sure what she's asking there. Another one says, why is it legal to bull-eye a redfish when you can't bull-eye other animals? Well, if you've ever been around bull-eyeing animals, rabbits, deer, probably the two most common, it kind of not paralyzes them but stops them and makes them very, very vulnerable. Redfish, if you're out there and you're bow fishing redfish at night, I'm going to tell you, that ain't easy. It's not a given. It's still very challenging. And if you've never done it, try it before you form an opinion on if it's the same thing as shooting a deer or a rabbit at night with a rifle. All right, here's one. Bon matin for Vermilion Parish at the duck camp, just north of the Gulf of America. Water is low, but the biscuits are good and the coffee is hot. Here's one says, morning, Don. Greetings from the center of global warming in Acadiana. 14 degrees, 9 inches of snow, made outdoor activities impossible for us older folks, but it was great for the kids. Yeah, kids and dogs all seem to really enjoy frolicking in the snow. Here's a question. How does frigid weather hurt fish and wildlife? Well, fish, obviously, it gets too cold and they freeze. They can't feed. They're cold-blooded. They can't take the cold temperatures. Basically, they suffer hypothermia and die. Wildlife, they've got to eat to survive and to stay warm, and it becomes more difficult. There's less prey for them out there. And, of course, you know, when you get cold, if an animal is already compromised, it could be the kiss of death. But it doesn't hurt them as much as it would, or at least wildlife, as it would a human. They're built to take it. Let's see. Tell that. No, we don't have enough time for those things about Miriam. Here's one. Said a couple of dead specks picked up at the Golden Meadow Park boat launch on Thursday. That's from Chris. Thank you, Chris. Another one says, now that my camp is on the Gulf of America, did the property value go up? I'm not sure about that. Let me know if it has, if you get an appraisal done. Here's one. Long live the Gulf of America. All right, here's one says, last time I checked, Mexico is absolutely part of America. Gulf of America is more inclusive. That's from Roger, listening to us in Keller, Texas. Here's one says, how cold does it need to get before the ducks show up? Show up. Are they estimating the duck population, or is short-stopping or farming for ducks only still being ignored and acknowledged? When will the feds step in and do something, or does DU and Delta lobby the feds to dictate through them as they see fit to accommodate a select few elite donors? I think some unbiased studies need to be done on the effects of farming for ducks and see what impact that has on altering the migration. And I don't think we have a conclusive answer to that. All right, and more texts coming in. Let's see. Anyone ever caught a bluefish down here? Yeah, but we got bluefish here, but there are so many more better fish to catch, particularly for the table. And I know bluefish are certainly edible in other states. They relish them. But here, bluefish are kind of looked down upon, and really nobody targets them. And very rarely do they keep them when they do catch them. All right, we got more text. We'll get to them a little bit later on. But right now, we got to take a quick break because I got Mike Gallo chomping at the bit to tell us all about fishing in single-digit temperatures with snow all over the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. He's next. Stay tuned right here to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And that's time for our Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo, brought to you by CETO. And, boy, I bet a lot of people were glad they had it, even if they didn't need it during these times. I'm going to tell you the story about seven duck hunters who had to be rescued. And, man, you look at the shape they were in. It's not a good place to be. But if you want to be safe and have peace of mind, it's like having AAA for you on the water. It's called CETO. And what they do is they will come out and rescue you 24/7, no charge. Once you pay your membership fee, you're entitled to as many free towing experiences as you want. Who wants a lot of them? They'll jumpstart electrical problems. One of our guys that got stuck out there duck hunting ran out of gas. They'll bring fuel if that's your problem. And you also are entitled to discounts on buying fuel, lodging, and a lot more from their Advantage Network partners. Check it all out. Go online and explore it at CETO.com. You can also make your purchase there or simply call Captain Chris. He's a great guy. He knows how to fish. He'll talk fishing with you in addition to selling you a CETO membership at 504-301-4545. It's $249 for an entire year, and you renew it after that. Captain Mike joins us. And, Mike, tell me about your experiences this past Tuesday and Wednesday when the snowflakes were flying around the Spots and Dots Lodge.
Well, Don, most of my experiences took place from the couch, looking through the window. My wife certainly went outside and took lots of pictures. I went out there once or twice with her, but other than that, I was pretty comfortable sitting on the couch and just waiting it out. You know, around Thursday, made a trip over to the lodge. You know, you want to put your eyes on the lodge, make sure the boats are fine, and I did that. No problems with the lodges as of yet. I have not turned the water back on to see if I have any busted pipes, but I feel like I'm going to be okay with the busted pipe scenario. If not, maybe I'll give Daryl a call and he and I can talk fishing and fix pipes.
There you go. Mike, what advice would you have, and what are your plans when you do return to the water following one of these deep freezes? What are you going to do? Because it's almost like it's, you know, a brand new world now. You know, haven't been out there in several days. Nobody's got any reports. Things have changed temperature-wise, tide-wise. What's some good advice for fishing following these fronts?
Well, obviously, Don, you want to travel in water that you know, so you don't find a mud flat or a shallow area and run aground. It's great to have CETO, but you really don't want to use them. What you can find in this low water is structure that's below the water surface that you generally don't see when the water is at normal level. I've found many areas where there's shale beds or shale reefs that have become part of my normal routine of fishing. And those are spots that I would have never known were there had not gone out in low water conditions where I could see them. Simple, you could drive by, you'll see them, mark them on your GPS, and the next time you're out fishing, give those areas a try when the water temperatures warm up, more productive. I haven't seen any dead fish, and, you know, cross my fingers, we don't see any. I do think that, you know, it's late in the year. Most of our fish had moved into at least being close to deeper water. So as this got colder and colder, they just went deeper and deeper to stay out of the real cold water that's closer to the surface. So I'm hopeful and just looking forward to the good weather to return where we can get out there and see what we catch.
Mike, we're talking jerkbaits this morning. That's kind of our bait of the day. And I know when you bring customers out, clients out, a lot of them don't have a lot of casting experience, so it could be a little hazardous slinging around those jerkbaits. But when you use them, how do you use them, and you got a favorite one?
Well, I have several that I like to use, and I'm very big on match the hatch. So you'll probably see mullet. And obviously, if you see mullet that are 4 to 6 inches long, you may want to use a mirror lure or a matrix rip shad that's in that 4 to 6 inch range. Obviously, if you're seeing mullet that are much smaller, then you want to fish a smaller version. A lot of these hard bait manufacturers will make lures 2.5, 3.5, 4.5 inches in length, and they'll all produce, but I personally like to match the hatch, fish with a lure that's similar to bait that I'm seeing in the water. I like natural colors. I do the majority of my jerkbait fishing with white sides, a dark back, and a white bottom. And when I do change, if I figure that that's not working, I like chrome. I like the bone color. The pink colors can work, and chartreuse. I don't have any black mirror lures. They must work because I've been seeing them for over 20 years, so they obviously must work. I personally don't use them. Other things that I can tell you, I like to use a medium action rod. I generally will use monofilament. And a loop knot is important to tie to your jerkbait. Some of them will come with split ring, and if they do, you don't need a loop knot. But if it does not come with a split ring on the eye, then you'll want to tie a loop knot. That will give you more action.
Exactly. Other than that, but people not know what a loop knot is. It's a knot that kind of leaves a loop in the tying on to the island. And what it does, it gives a wider range of side-to-side movement. It's a very good knot and really the best knot to use for a topwater bait, too. But you were going to say other than that?
Other than that, it's almost like fishing a top dog. You're almost walking the dog below the surface. Do that side-to-side motion, and just like your freshwater reporter was talking about paws. And the paws can be when they strike, and the paws can be much longer than you think. I personally haven't seen any on forward-facing sonar, but obviously been fishing these jerkbaits, rip shads, for many, many years. That pause, like I say, can be 10, 15 seconds of doing nothing. You know, you do that top dog motion below the surface and just pause. And you'll have your line, I would say, taut. It's not tight, but there's enough slack in it where you can still detect a bite, and the lure is just suspending. A lot of these lures will suspend. You'll bring them down 2, 3, 5 feet from the surface, and when you pause it, it doesn't rise or fall. It just suspends right there. And those fish, it's exciting, and it's a pretty hard bite, and can catch some sizable fish doing that.
Yep. And that's why they call him the forensic fisherman. Thank you, Mike. Besides, my website is a good way to find you. Tell us about your site and your phone number if somebody wants to give you a call.
Well, you can find me at aaofla.com. Angling Adventures of Louisiana is the address on social media. And the telephone number's 985-781-7811.
All right, best of luck on the pipes, and we'll catch up with you next week, Mike.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you then.
Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Coming up next, Captain Eric Mohabarak. He likes to pedal for his fish. I'm talking about pedaling in a kayak. He's got those raccoon feet, they call him. He's back with whatever report we could find following the Arctic blast here on the Gulf Coast. He's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is a presentation of No Wake Outfitters. You'll find them at 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, Louisiana. Got those Tackle Tuesdays and a really nice selection of all conventional tackle, including those popular Marker 54s you've been hearing about. Also, if you're interested in fly fishing, there will be a Fly Fishing 101 course that kicks off February the 15th. It's a 3 to 4 hour class, goes in depth, takes the fundamentals with hands-on casting instruction, and will include your first fly fishing rig. It comes with a rod, reel, the line, and the leader. That's a $250 value, class and rig. Check them out, No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. Eric Mohabarak joins us, and Eric, not a whole lot of reports due to what's been going on with the weather. Any reports of fishing kills? And, boy, aren't you glad that that minimalist challenge was not held with these kind of conditions?
Well, I'm surprised it wasn't, Don. Usually they pick the right date for the worst weather for any tournament. You know that with the kayaks. You know, unfortunate for the guys who's organizing it. They do their best. But, yeah. Now, the only thing I heard was down in Lafourche Parish, a few around Leeville. Nothing major. You know, I've been trying to keep up with all of that. I haven't heard about anything down the road that I know of personally or heard from any of my people down there. Not much going on with the fish kills as far as I personally know.
Got it. Eric, you know, we've been talking about jerkbaits this morning, and your report says that would be one of the tactics that would you use coming out of these cold water temperatures, go to deep spots and throw something like a suspended bait. Tell us about fishing from a kayak with a jerkbait. Is it any different than in a bay boat?
Don, it depends on how, like, see, I fish different than a lot of people. I like to fish those jerk baits real slow. I use, like, the Miradons, which could be considered a suspended bait more than, I guess it's a jerk bait, but it's a suspended bait, really. And so are the jerk baits. You can get floaters that dive down and stuff, but I like the suspending ones. I fish slow. Like, I got a 5-to-1 ratio reel, and I try and fish slow, and it seems to work better for me. I twitch and I leave it sit, and I twitch and leave it sit, especially with those sinking baits. They fall so slow, and it might give it a little bit of action that initiates that strike. I also find that natural colors, like if you have lures that are older, that are scratched up and beat up or whatever, the lighter beat up colors seem to work better than like a brand new lure at the box. Or if you're going to use a brand new lure, use a bone, a glow, something like that, a green that you know that doesn't have a lot of new, I'm saying newness, I don't know how to shine to it or whatever. It seems that, like, when you pull the fish out the water, they're white, you know, like the redfish are white or the trout are light colors. So it seems to work. I don't know. I like the match and the hatch even on summer days.
Yeah, that's a good theory. Eric, you mentioned three spots that you might want to try following the cold weather conditions. Why don't you run them down?
Yeah, you know, of course, Myrtle Grove, that didn't kick off yesterday. I knew someone who was fishing over there at the camp, and they caught a few drum, but nothing crazy. He was surprised also. And then you got the telephone pole holes out on Highway 1. which is, I guess that's sand pits is what some people call it also. You know, and that's a good deep spot there, you know, and it's a good place to throw the jerk baits, actually. Right. And then you got the ship channel at Campos. I remember a few years back I had some friends come in Texas and stay there, and we went out of Campos. And, man, we just killed the fish. We were fishing on the backside of the, by the castle there, and actually on the bank. We got on the bank and we're throwing off. Man, we caught limits of redfish right there as the weather was warming up, as it should be doing today. You know, it should start warming up during the day, and it may bring them fish out of that lake or that deep water where they're at along the rocks there.
Good. Eric, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get some information and do some trying before they buy and learn all about the tactics of fishing with kayaks, you're one of the few guides out there that do it. Tell them how to get a hold of you. Besides my website, we got you there at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com.
Yeah.
How else can they find out about you?
You can find me on Facebook or Instagram, The Louisiana Kayak Company, or just hit me up on the phone, 504-313-8292.
Sounds great, Eric. Stay warm, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Don. I ain't going outside with these feet.
No, you better put some boots on if you do this time, for sure.
Yeah. All right, y'all have a great one, Don.
There he goes. Raccoon feet and all, even tracks in the snow. All right. We got a story about seven duck hunters rescued by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and one really bad boy of the outdoors. They're next. Right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You know, on this past Tuesday, which I guess was probably the worst day of the snow, Agents Corporal Jason Marks and Michael Blanchard got information at 7 a.m. that two duck hunters were stranded on Henderson Lake. They responded to the scene, found the duck hunters in their boat inside their blind about 8:45. According to the hunters, they got to the blind when they tried to leave, couldn't get the motor started. They rescued the hunters, transported them back to their truck and then back to Lafayette, and tied the boat to the duck blind to be picked up at a later date. A little later, Agent Sergeant Jeremy Foray and Savannah Laverne, they got information at 9:40 about four hunters stranded on the Atchafalaya Delta WMA. The agents went out there by boat. They reached the stranded hunters at 11 o'clock in St. Mary Parish. And according to these hunters, they went duck hunting. On their way back, the boat started taking on water. Then they beached the boat on the WMA and called for help. Thank God for cell phones. The agents transported the hunters by boat back to their vehicles, and they didn't need any medical attention. Then later, those same two agents at 2 o'clock that afternoon got information about a stranded hunter on the Atchafalaya Delta Wildlife Management Area again. Found that hunter who had been hunting and was on his way back. He ran out of gas. Made a call for help. The agents and St. Mary Parish Sheriff's Office deputies launched a patrol vessel. They were able to transport him back to his truck at the boat launch. Didn't require any medical attention, but I think he may need a refresher course in calculating how much gas can get you how far. Some happy endings to some potentially lethal circumstances, and that's what our agents are doing in their spare time. Well, right after this pause, I'm going to tell you what some agents did with their real job, enforcing the laws of the wildlife and fish in Louisiana. The bad boy of the outdoors is next, right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Sergeant Russell Marbury, Sergeant Tyler Smith, Corporal Jason Sanchez, and Agent Hayden Bird got information that Hunter Gunn, no joke, his name is Hunter Gunn, was actively hunting on property near Port Allen with no permission. They found Gunn actively hunting from a deer stand without hunter's orange and with a rifle that was fixed with a thermal scope. During questioning, Gunn fessed to killing an Atlanta antler deer during illegal hours, and he had celebrated New Year's Eve by killing another antler deer during legal hours, but from the property he had no permission to hunt on. Agents also found Gunn, he was ready to party, in possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. He also admitted to taking a doe that he failed to tag or validate near Rama earlier during the deer hunting season with the same rifle fixed with that thermal scope. So what happened? Agents seized the rifle, the thermal scope, the head of the antler deer, deer meat, and their arrested gun, and cited him for hunting deer during illegal hours, taking wild game quadrupeds with a firearm equipped with an infrared sight, failing to tag deer, failing to validate deer, failing to wear hunter's orange, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and they booked him into the West Baton Rouge Parish Jail. And for good measure, the West Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office deputies also arrested Gunn and charged him with criminal trespassing. If convicted on all charges, facing criminal fines and civil restitution for the value of the three deer he took illegally in the amount of $7,532 and up to 120 days in jail, is 37-year-old Hunter Gunn of Maringouin, our bad boy of the outdoors. Whew, that's quite a rap sheet. All right, we come back after this. We're going to check in with Ryan Lambert, find out what snow looks like down in Burris, down near the tip of the boot of Louisiana. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, has got the vehicle in the direction of the airport, I'm assuming. He's going to head for Mexico because if you're going down to Burris, you got to bring your own water if you're going to fish a hunt, they tell me. Ryan, is that true?
Yeah, you better. We got in the blind finally at 3 o'clock yesterday evening.
Had any ducks?
Killed 14 out of that blind, 21 out of another blind. But you know, they set us up to fail with the season with these negative tides. You know, you got a negative 0.9 all week, so you know it literally robs us of our last week of the season. And it's more than that. It's been a lot in January. So I'm gonna go and meet with Wildlife Fishery, see when they could change these zones. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but pretty soon they'll be able to change the zones and give us a coastal zone because, you know, it's not safe. I mean, look at the Wildlife Fishery had to rescue quite a few people this week. You know, you get a big storm and negative tides, you know, you get in trouble quick.
Right. Well, maybe they'll see the light, and if possible, they can make the change this coming year and be a big benefit. Well, you know, of course, the cold weather helped bring ducks down, but if you can't get to them, what does it really help?
Well, There's lots of ducks. It's just they sitting where they can, and most of them are offshore. And you know, there's a lot of fish kills going on right now. You know, I don't like being negative today. I'm going to Mexico tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fish kills. What do you know definitely about fish kills?
They got trout in Port Saufel for sure, and there's a few redfish and a few trout in Burris. Mm-hmm. Nothing on the east side that we've seen. The west side's got some, and then I saw a guy yesterday filming some in Port Saufel. You know, and when you get those shallow bays like that still had water, and you know, because the water dropped about 4 or 5 foot with that storm coming in on the west side, plus the negative tides. So a lot of the fish in Burris, you know, that water went. The whole marsh went empty, so you know, the fish got in some deeper water. It might have saved a bunch of them, but you know, I know people that's caught fish yesterday too. So the boys are out there fishing right now. So, but this fish kill, those fish kills I've heard in Grand Isle, Golden Meadow, Point Shan, I heard, and Point Saupa for sure. So, what have you heard?
Pretty much the same. Lafitte got a report of some dead fish in the canal there in Lafitte, and
in the canal too, huh?
Yeah, that's what they said. So we'll see how it turns out, and we get the official word on it. Look, we're talking about jerk baits. That's kind of our bait of the day. What do you know about jerk baits? Which ones do you like to use, and when do you use them?
You know, when I used to bass fish, I always used a long A because it had better hooks. A lot of people like the Rogue, but the long A's got better hooks on it. You know, if you're a bass fish, I just use the long A. For redfish and speckled trout, you know, we use a white 4-inch jerk bait. Like if we're fishing on an island or something in April, and it's really good. It's a Rapala. It costs about $10. So, you know, it's a good bait. It works really well. It's a Rapala. I don't know the number of it, but it's a white 4-inch jerk bait. It works really well. You try to match the hatch, you know. If you're fishing a long big shad, you use a longer one. But jerkbaits work really well if you have the patience to fish them.
And how do you fish them? Do you actually jerk them and let them suspend, or what kind of motion do you put in them?
Well, it just depends. You know, you got to find what the fish want. You know, there's different attitudes. Sometimes you get a hard jerk and let it sit. Sometimes you twitch. Sometimes you reel it down and just stop it. You know, you just have to do a few rhythms until you find what the fish want. And once you find it, it's like, you know, it's like a combination. Once you do that, then it's on.
Got it.
So, you know, most of the time I like about a 3 foot with the rod and let it go down and stop it. And then, you know, just like a wounded minnow, you know, if you ever watch the wounded minnow, they'll give it a little tail shake and then they'll kind of float, drift up. So that's what you're trying to mimic. I got a bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, they're expensive baits. You know, the one I really like, too, is that Yozuri. But, boy, they're proud of it.
Oh, yeah. All of them. You know, a good thing, you know, Berkeley came to the lodge and dropped hundreds of them off. So we got plenty.
Good. So, well, what you going to do in Mexico? What you going to hunt? Doves? Quail?
Ducks and quail. I think ducks and quail. Unless there's a goose hunt, I might try a goose hunt one day. I love to hunt geese if you're on the X. If you're not on the X, it's not fun at all. But if you're on the X, it's a great experience. So I'm going to do that. And then there's a lot of ducks down right now, redheads and pintails. We'll go hit those. And I think one day I got calm weather on Tuesday, so I'll quail hunt Tuesday and, you know, finish up with the ducks that evening. So. Okay. I'll duck hunt four times, a quail hunt one time, I would imagine.
All right. Well, when you get back, let me know how it's looking for our hunt during the week. If we got water, we'll go. If not, well, we'll wait for another time.
Yeah. I think the last day, I'm just going to bring lunch, and I'm going to get into one of the blinds, and I'm just going to sit there all day. You know, that's my happy place, and that's what I'm going to do.
There you go. There's worse places to be. There's worse places.
Oh, without a doubt. I know the tide's going to come up before long. So, and it's supposed to be windy those 2 days as well. So hopefully we'll get out there and kill them. But I'll give you a call as soon as I get home on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll close it out with a good hunt, hopefully. All right, give us a quick phone number. Somebody wants to get a hold of you.
Oh, yeah, they can call me at 504-559-5111 or just go to CajunFishingAdventures.com because we are booking up for this year. Them phones have been busy.
And número en español, por favor.
Okay.
Número.
What do you?
Tu número en español.
Tu número.
Your number.
Número. Número.
Número.
Número. 504. 559 5111.
Bueno, hasta la vista.
Yeah. Okay.
See you later.
Hasta la vista, amigo.
All right, wow. There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, very fluent in Espanol, much more than me. All right, we come back after this. We're going to close it out with a trip over to Hackberry. Over there, pretty close to Texas, we'll talk to Captain Kirk Stancil, where they control their own water. How about that? That's pretty neat. We'll be back to talk to him after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we're headed out west to the duck blind of Hackberry Rod and Gun. Let's help him out. Captain Kirk, I don't know if that's going to help you or hurt you, but I'm trying to bring you some ducks. I hear you need a little help over there.
I'm going to get you a ticket for electronic call.
Ooh, put that phone down. Yeah, you can't let them hear that. Man, you guys got your own water over there, man. Tell us about that situation you got. So you hardly ever go high and dry when you're trying to hunt the marsh.
Yeah, no, we're not high and dry. You know, last year we did because of the drought, but we were able to let water in. We had to let salt water in. But, yeah, we control our marshes that we hunt. So, yeah, well, I just heard the first shots of the morning.
Oh, they must have heard my call. That must have been it.
That's what it was. Yep, you sent them to the wrong blind.
So I saw a couple of guys that made a hunt out there with you doing the Arctic Blast, and seemed like they did okay, but I couldn't tell whether they had gray beards or that was ice in their beards.
Both. Yeah. What day? Tuesday. One blind. We had one blind. One group made it here, mm-hmm. And they went and hunted. They ducks covered them up for about 30 minutes, and then the snow started. It's just the blizzard started, not the snow, the blizzard, and it was complete whiteout, and the ducks shut down. But it's been special, I'll tell you. The blind I went to We never took our gun off safety. So it was just wasn't where I went.
Yeah. Well, so and, what have you seen so far this morning?
This morning I've seen three gadwalls. That's been it. I mean, look, it pushed our birds out. We had a lot of birds prior to this, and the numbers went down. And I expect when it warms up, they'll come back. And yeah, today is supposed to warm up.
Yep. Well, you know that old saying, you know, be careful what you ask for. You know, we always say we need cold weather to push ducks in, but it also pushes them out. You know, teal especially, it'll move those teal right on out of here.
Yeah, you know, Don, when we get these Arctic blasts like this, it pushes the birds we have out. Our birds come early, and then for some reason, late season, you get these cold blasts like this. You see fewer birds, and then when it warms up, they come back.
Are you guys planning to fish after the hunt? And if you are, what you planning on?
Yes. We had six boats went out yesterday, and all but one boat got their limits of redfish.
That's good.
So that was good. The day before, zero fish were caught. Yesterday, redfish bit.
Any confirmed fish kills in your area?
I know of one because one of my captains dipped up a 26-inch trout.
Wow.
And I haven't heard from the biologist. Well, I say that. A guide's talked to a biologist. Mm-hmm. That's not a duck. Okay. And and they didn't see any. They drove the whole lake and didn't see any. But, you know, we'll wait another day or two and see if any of them float up.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be anything like 1989 freeze, but there's going to be some scattered reports here and there, I think. But I don't think it's going to be anything to seriously hurt the population for next year.
I hope not. You know, if we had, you know, what, 2 weeks prior had that really good cold snap and low tides that were able to maybe move the fish out of the shallow water. And then we had a couple of days of cold, you know, pretty cold weather and low tides prior to the Arctic blast.
Very good. Kirk, I'm going to let you get back to having fun, but if somebody wants to call you guys and do a fishing trip, just got a few days left of this duck season, tell them how to get you.
Okay. We have a toll-free number. It's 888-762-3391, and our website is HackberryRodAndGun. You spell out and.com.
And we can still catch your reports on Tuesdays?
Yes, sir. Tuesday, 6 o'clock.
On Facebook?
Facebook, correct.
Boy, Facebook Live. You are high tech. You are high tech.
Well, somebody had to show me.
I remember when you didn't know Tupperware from software back in the day.
You're right. You're exactly right. I still don't.
Kirk, have fun, my buddy, and we'll talk to you
okay.
next time.
All right. Good talking to you, Don. Thank you.
All right, here he goes. Captain Kirk Stansel. Well, great bunch of guys out there at Hackberry Rod and Gun. I remember the founder out there, Terry Shaughnessy, always said, you should have been here yesterday. That's their motto. All right, let's see. Before we wrap up here, I got a couple of texts. It says, the Big Branch Marsh Wildlife Management Area, Fritchie Marsh, every day there's airboats. I tried to contact the main office about it, but couldn't get anyone to answer the phone. Isn't it legally illegal to operate these on during the waterfowl season? Any idea what's going on? There's no ducks in the area because of the airboats. Are they airboats or are they surface drives? I'm not sure. But here's the deal. Neither of those are legal to operate on Big Branch Wildlife Management, which is it's a refuge, it's federal, and the Fritchie Marsh, which is an extension of it. But there are some private tracts of land that are kind of like embedded within it, and those people have permission to use powered boats to get into their leases, but they can only go directly there and directly out. They can't run all over the area, and you did what you should. Report it, and hopefully you can get somebody out there to put a stop to it, because that definitely is illegal. All right, sorry I couldn't get to all of those texts. I guess a lot of people stayed home today or stayed close to their phone. Thank you for your text. Hope you'll join us again next week. We'll be back again 5 to 7 a.m. We do this each and every Saturday morning, and we call it The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.